want to say I didn't forget. I had intended to say it really as a sign that I'm getting younger. I intended to say it twice earlier on in the meeting. Forgot to say that we're delighted to see Jennifer back out today again. You all know she's been unwell for a wee while and doesn't like missing the meetings, of course, but glad she's well enough to be with us here today. And we'd ask you, please, to continue to pray for her and for others that are unwell. You know that our sermons go on to sermon audio, and occasionally we have encouraging emails. Just this past week, our brother Jeff Butler got an email to say that one of the messages, just a few weeks ago, a lady from, I think, Pomeroy in Tyrone, she said that it had been a great comfort to her as she starts her first cycle of chemotherapy. So that is good, and that is what we want to do. It's a great blessing. It rewards you far more than money ever could when you hear that you're helping people. And certainly that is something we want to pray for, that the Lord would continue to use his word and sermon audio as well to help those who are not as well as we are, even in these days. Returning to this verse, chapter 24, or verse 24 in chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews. And by way of introduction, I want to talk to you about couple of things that happened some years ago. We know that there's no such thing as a good war or a nice war, but war is a reality that all of us have come to expect right across the world. Everywhere there seems to be war. But long ago, in the First World War, I read a story once of a commanding officer who was there in a very, very difficult situation when they were being bombarded by enemy fire, and he was ordering young men, probably some of them forged their age, to get into the army to help, to look after the safety of their country at home, but they were there anyway, and he was ordering them out of the trench, and they were going one after the other, and they were being cut down like dogs. And when it come to the crunch, he wouldn't go. Now that's unforgivable. He wouldn't go. And what a discouragement, I believe, he was to other individuals who were there at that time. And yet if I can look at another story that it was totally different. There was an occasion in America's history, when American soldiers were under very severe pressure. And one thing that enthused them greatly to keep going, trying to defend whatever it was they were defending, was that they got a telegram from the President of the United States, and he let them know that his thoughts and prayers was with them. And apparently that made a huge difference to the people there. Apparently it gave them a new vigor, if that's what you could call it, in war, but it gave them new dedication to try to look after the towns and cities, whatever they were, that were under attack, and the people there. And it really put them on a new level as far as dedication was concerned. And folks, what is obviously true in the natural sense, if you're a commanding officer, if you were unfortunate enough to be out there and a commanding officer was ordering young men over the top and then wouldn't go himself, you'd be greatly discouraged. But at the same time, if the President was to send you a telegram and say that his thoughts and prayers were with you, you were on his mind, he was thinking of you all the time, that kind of thing, it would encourage you greatly. What is true in the physical sense can also be true in the spiritual sense. We've looked this morning and read some verses about Moses. Moses was a man, and the Bible tells us quite a lot about him. I've studied his life, and maybe you have as well. It's very interesting and very encouraging. But he was not without his flaws. He wasn't perfect. And the Bible records those flaws so that we might learn from his mistakes. But if you look there in chapter 12, just the next chapter in verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Well, what we read about there is what Moses was doing in verse 24. When it says in verse 24, by faith, Moses, because that which is in verse 27, in the original, it's a continual act. He was continually looking to the Lord. He continually looked by faith. We know that, as I said, he was not without his flaws. He needed encouragement. sometimes just the same as you and me. But he had a faith that enabled him to, in a sense, in the most unusual circumstance. We know where he was brought up in Egypt. He'd been taken as a little baby and he'd been looked after there. No doubt he was very well looked after. But he realized that that was not his home. And there was great wickedness committed by the leaders of the Egyptian people at that time. And he left. It took great courage and great faith in order for him to do that. But he said yes, as it were, to God. But when you say yes to God, folks, maybe you're young this morning and you'd love to do that, or you've already done it, and something has come up and you said, yes, I'll do that, that will mean inevitably that you will have to say no to other things. And sometimes that's where the difficulty comes. There will be other invitations come your way. Most of you have heard of John Bunyan, who wrote the brilliant book. It's an allegory there in Pilgrim's Progress. And you have the person called Christian as they make their way to the celestial city. And there were many people who aligned with Christian earlier on. But as time went on, Christian discovered that they fell by the wayside. That's not a criticism. It's just what he talked about in his Pilgrim Progress, and it's a fact of life. A fact of life. That even Moses, he learned that while the help of man would be appreciated and would be of benefit to him, ultimately he would have to have the Lord's help. And so it is with us, folks. People love us, and there's even people we don't know who, I'm thinking here of our doctors and nurses and people who go the second mile to do what they can to look after us when we're sick, and other people who will help us. And we appreciate all of that. But in your Christian journey, you must have the help of the Lord. You must have the help of the Lord. And Moses needed to have the help of the Lord, not only if he was to survive. I don't want to put it that way. But remember, this is the chapter of the winners. You look through the chapter here and you have Noah and Jacob and Abraham. You've even Rahab, who used to be a harlot and was converted. And you've all those people mentioned. They were winners. And in 2018, it's not easy to be a winner. And when I say a winner here, I'm not talking about getting one up on the next man. We're not interested in that. But I'm talking about winning in a world of temptation and discouragement and darkness, and winning for the Lord and with the Lord. And you've been able to look at your life and not say, I'm now 70 years old, look how much I've got, it's property or money. That's not winning. I'm talking about living for the Lord and winning in that way. And certainly, Moses was a man who was a winner. He was a winner, and I've put a title on it today. You may recognize it from a film years ago, and the title is Who Dares Wins? Who Dares Wins? I want you to notice some things, and I try to make them as simple as I can. I trust that they will be encouraging to you, because let's face it, you will have to step out if you want to win. Any fish, as they say, can go with the flow, but it's different for fish to go against the flow. And so it is in the world today. And many, many people, many Christians are recognizing that. Just how difficult it can be to be a winner. But who dares wins? Moses dared to step out for the Lord. I want you to notice first of all then that Moses looked. He looked. Let's look at verse 26. See where it says there in verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ. That means being seen to be the Lord's and being on his side and seeking to do what he wanted. Greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Now, Egypt in those days, some of you will know this, was renowned for its great riches, gold and silver and artifacts, and some of the greatest, most valuable things on earth at the time were found in Egypt. And Moses, he was the adopted son, if you like, of Pharaoh's daughter. And he was there, he was heir of it all. But he looked upon going out and being with his own people, with God's people, and he thought that that was greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. The word esteem there where it says esteem, literally means, in the original language that the Bible was written in, to evaluate or to carefully judge the value of something. And I think it's very fair this morning to assume that all around him there were many indicators pointing to go the way of others in the palace. Eat, drink, and be merry. Have all you want of whatever you want. And let those out there look after themselves. People, whenever he left Egypt, they may have said, well, it's nothing more than misguided zeal. Well, it was much more than that, because he went out by faith. It says there, by faith, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was daring to step out on faith. And if you and I can just this morning in some degree place ourselves where he was in his position briefly, there may be some things that come to mind that we would have to think about if we were in his situation. There was, first of all, what I have written down here as the prospects. Moses had everything in his hand, we've mentioned that, but there would be great difficulties for Moses as he sought to follow the Lord. And folks, I wish I could say to you this morning, it's going to be different for you. I'm not saying every day everybody's going to be shouting at you and swearing at you, and it's not like that in the real world. But I trust that many of you this morning will know that I mean, if you want to step out and live successfully for the Lord, if you want to be a winner, if you want to be a man or woman who is a prayer warrior and knows how to seek the Lord in prayer, and you win at that, and it's high on your priority list as far as your life is concerned, and you want to live before others, and you want to say no to plenty of things that so many people are tripping over themselves to say yes to, if you want to do that, then you have to evaluate. You have to say, well, really, all of these prospects, if we want to call them that, do I want those, or do I want the well done of God? That's it. Do I want the well done of God? But I want to say to you this morning that if you follow the Lord's will, that will be the richest and the greatest blessing that you and I can ever have in our lives. Over there in the book of Exodus, chapter 33, just going to read it quickly. Exodus chapter 33, verse 13. Moses here with the Lord says, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me. So he's looking for guidance from the Lord now. Show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Where it says there, now thy way, means a well-trodden route. A well-trodden route. And Moses is saying, show me it that I may know thee. He meant to know the Lord more intimately, and that I may find grace in thy sight. He recognized that the Lord's presence and the Lord's will was one of the most important things that he could possibly have in his life. So he's seeking the Lord here that he might know the way that he has to go. And he said, my presence shall go with thee. And I just want to say again, Christian, you can hold on to that promise today. If you want to follow the Lord and follow his leading, you can hold on to that promise that the Lord will be with you. And he says here, this is Moses talking again, verse 15. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. You see, Moses had learned. He had learned the importance of evaluating things. And he knew that to go without God's presence in his direction was just folly and wouldn't bring any real prosperity. And certainly whatever he did would not be of any real benefit to anyone if the Lord wasn't in it. All around you today, there will be invitations to be involved in all kinds of things. I'm not talking here about doing your work or your business and things like that, but I'm talking about following after that which is out there, which, remember, that what he really turned his back on. The Bible puts it very plain. It says this, the pleasures of sin for a season. He evaluated the whole thing. And he weighed up the prospects. And yet he dared to go out and follow the Lord and went by faith. But there was also, he also recognized, as we must do, that whatever he did, he was putting down markers. Do you ever think of that in your life? Putting down markers. Some people in Northern Ireland are really kind individuals. I'm not speaking here necessarily about people who are saved, who are Christians, but really kind individuals who have spent their lives trying to be kind to other people, trying to help people, trying to work for organizations, very often voluntary, that are trying to care for sick folk, all of that kind of thing. Sometimes I feel ashamed when I see what they're doing. And they put down markers. And we've all known them. And when they leave this scene of time, and if you're at the Thanksgiving service for their life, sometimes you will reflect and you think, well, I knew her or I knew him for so many years, and you think of all the markers they put down. And you saw them. And you know what the markers were. And so it is with you and I. We put down markers for good, like those people, or for bad. Equally, you can say of someone who's notorious for wickedness, they maybe done something really bad, maybe, I don't know, committed a serious crime, maybe murder. And whatever, whenever they leave this scene of time, you cannot ignore the fact that they put down markers too. But not markers that you'd want to follow. You see, Moses had to recognize, and I believe he did, because he had a great love for the upcoming generation. He recognized that he was putting down markers for those who came after. And so am I as a father. Very conscious of that. It's important to evaluate. He looked. You see, he looked at what there was on offer there. And as I said, the word esteem there means to evaluate or to judge things, the value of things. You need to judge the value of those prospects. Seek to follow the Lord. You need to remember that we're putting down markers for those who come after. There's another thing that Moses recognized too. He knew that all the opportunities that come his way were passing opportunities. Don't mean to be morbid. But so it is for you and I. Sometimes opportunities only come once. And certainly the opportunity of life itself. Someone rightly said, we have a little window called life to do what we can for good for other people and for the Lord. And that is true. He had all of these things to ask. And the best thing we could do today would be pray like Moses. Lord, show me the pathway. Show me the well-trodden pathway. It's not saying show me the Free Presbyterian pathway or the pathway of any individual, but show me God's way. That when I put down markers, and when I look back, I might say, well, I've done what I could to help others. I've done what I could for the Lord. And that others too may say, well, she did what she could or he did what they could. So when you and I think of who dares wins, Moses dared to step out by faith. It meant evaluating all of that which was around them. Moses looked, that's for sure. And I don't know, everyone here's all about your individual circumstances, just at this present time, but maybe you're at a crossroads for all I know. You can go the way of the world, throw yourself into all the so-called pleasures of sin, and there's plenty there. As we said to you the other day, some of you, more and more when we're out in crowded places, we're smelling weed. It's an awful smell. It smells of anything worse than ordinary cigarettes. But anyway, all of these things are available. You can throw yourself into all of that and a thousand other things. Or you can say, Lord, show me the well-worn pathway, the well-trodden pathway, that I might be of benefit to my fellow man and I might bring honor to the Lord. Not only do we see here that Moses looked, but Moses left. He left. Look at verse 25. It says there that he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the sins of season. He got up and he got out. Now there was ease and affluence and all kinds of sin available in the palace at Egypt. Remember who he was. And he had everything at his hand. But he got up and he left it. And in the eyes of many, no doubt, he was making a foolish mistake. But you see again, some around him may have concluded that he had everything worth living for. He had prestige and authority and a very exciting future. There's nothing wrong with an exciting future at all, but there's so many these days. And they were given anything just for prestige and for authority. And really, what is it at the end of the day? Moses saw the shallowness of these things. He saw through it. And he wanted neither their treasures nor their pleasures. And he got up and he left. And folks, today, the world system, when we talk about the world, we don't talk about the lovely fields and the meadows and the trees and some of the really, really nice people that you meet anytime you go out. We're talking about the system out there. And when we look out, how much looser can it get? It's called being liberal. But another word beginning with L describes it better. It is looseness, getting away from all of those things that have meant so much and meant so much to family life and to people all down through the years. But that system with unrelenting gusto will seek to hold on to you and give you wee bits of a lift here and there to keep you there. And to keep you giving your best days to that. Not only there was looseness in Egypt, and there certainly was that, and Moses saw that, but he thought, I believe, also of lasting effect. Lasting effect. We know a little bit about Egypt and know that when he left, that was going to affect the people he left, but the people that he went out to, he wanted to have a lasting effect on them. And folks, again, to repeat myself, how good it is to be able to do something to help people. Not just people who love you and care for you, but maybe even someone who doesn't particularly like you. Just to show kindness to them. There's a man one time, and he was, I can't remember his name, but he was a very, very well-known preacher in England years ago. And they used to say concerning him, if you want to get his attention and his kindness, do something bad on him. Because there were people who did bad things on him when they were preaching in open air. They used to throw things at him in the company, and said things to him and all of that. And he used to show great kindness to them. It's hard to do, maybe. But he used to do it. And you know, that had a lasting effect. And here we have Moses. He came out. We know he went out to his own. And his first initial attempt at a reformation was a complete failure. The Israel people, some of them, they looked on him and they thought, well, who do you think you are? Isn't it easy when that happens just to take a step back and think, well, I'm going to get no thanks? But he didn't want thanks. And Christian, don't you want thanks either? Whatever you do, do it with your might and do it as unto the Lord. But he would have a lasting effect. And here we are today, all these years later, still benefiting from what he did. Still benefiting from what he did. He said no to staying there and enjoying all the things. He said no to the prestige. He said no to the authority. He said no to being honored there by the people and just fiddling around and spending his days there in luxury. He said no to it all. And that was not an easy thing. But remember, who dares wins. And it says here that by faith, Moses. By faith, Moses. He was looking to the Lord. Moses looked. Moses left. But Moses loved. Look in verse 25. It says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. With the people of God, he had a great love to be with them people at that time. Now, I'm sure they were just like us today. They were all different, and they had their own quirks, and they had their own personalities, and there was all of that kind of thing to deal with. But he was able to look above that and think, well, I love him in the Lord, or I love her in the Lord. I'm going to do my best to help them. I know sometimes they irritate me a bit, or they get under my skin, or whatever the case might be. And Moses, more than any man, had all of that to face, and yet he loved them. He loved them. He had great enthusiasm to be among the people there. He grasped this different life outside of Egypt with great eagerness. And he really wanted to be at his best among the people there. He had great enthusiasm. He loved them. And folks, ask the Lord to help us to love one another in the Lord. And if I get under your skin, I'm sorry about that, but probably if you had somebody else here, they'd do it as well. But ask the Lord to help each one of us to love each other in the Lord. Makes such a difference in your life. Bitterness, the Bible tells us, is a deep root, and when that root comes in, it's a very hard one to shift. People can go to their graves holding really, really deep, bitter grudges, and what good did it do? Didn't do any good at all. What a blessing it is even to be in the prayer meetings here and to know that the people there on a Tuesday night or Sunday morning and Sunday night, that they have a real love for other people. I'm not saying they love all the personalities and all the quirks that people have, but they love their souls and they want to benefit them. They pray for each other when they're sick, in spite of all of these things. You see, the secret here for Moses was he managed to get his eyes off things. He managed to get his eyes off things. Something I mentioned to you earlier about the no good wars and no nice wars, but Moses, a man who knew a thing or two about war as well. It says there in the book of Acts in chapter 7 concerning Moses that Moses was learned or schooled in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. He was a man of renown in Egypt. The people didn't look upon him and say, oh, there's wee Moses. He was taken in by Pharaoh's daughter when he was floating down the river, and now he's a spoilt wee boy who's really good for very little. Didn't say that. Moses was mighty in words and in deeds. But he got his eyes off all of that. And he got his eyes on the Lord, and he went by faith to do what he could for the Lord. Why? Because he looked and he evaluated everything, he weighed it up and he thinks he made the right decision. Then he had to make a conscious decision to leave. To leave. How sad it is when you talk to an individual that's involved in something that's ruining their life perhaps, or maybe breaking the hearts of their family's life, and they acknowledge all of that. But don't leave. Don't leave. Still hold on to it. He left. And he left because he loved. Good every day for us to ask the Lord, Lord, give me a love for people. Give me a love for God's people and for those that are not saved. Give me a real love for them. Now you may think Moses is quite an unlikely character. He had everything that the vast majority of men in this world strive after. He had it all. And it shows us here that he himself even, he was mighty in words and in deeds. He was an academic. He was a military leader in Egypt. He was a mighty man in a whole lot of ways. He just turned his back on it all. But then he's not on his own. Remember Gideon, he was just a frightened, bitter farmer. And the Lord came along to Gideon and said, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Told him that he would deliver Israel from the Midianites as one man. Remember Rahab? Who was she? She was a harlot. She was a harlot who lived on the city wall, Jericho. Then the Lord saved her. And if you trace through the Bible, you know that Christ, if you trace the lineage of Christ right back according to the flesh, she was in that lineage. She was an unlikely character. Gideon was an unlikely character. What about Jethro? Jethro. He was an unwanted child. And all of these people, the Lord took them and used them to bring glory to his name. And he can use you, because you'll discover in all of their lives, with all of their flaws, Gideon and Rahab and Jephthah, they had a concern for others. They had a concern for others. And Moses loved. And you know, when you love individuals and you care about them, and you know that the Lord can make a big difference in their life, You will want to spend your time doing what you can to bring a change. Sometimes in Sunday school here, I think the children have been taught about C.T. Studd, who was the English cricketer, and he was very, very good. In fact, you've heard of the Ashes that they're always playing for. I don't think England have them very often, but they spent most of their time in India, but then that's another story. And the cricket on the Ashes, one of the names on that urn that the Ashes is in is C.T. Studd. I think his brother's name's on it as well. Brilliant cricketers. And anyway, back in 18-something, whatever it was, way, way, way back, somebody left him a complete fortune. But C.T. Studd had a love for people. And that love for people stemmed from a love for the Lord. And he said he took all his money and he gave it all away. And he looked at his career, and there's nothing wrong with the career in cricket. I'm not saying there is. But for him, the Lord had another mission in life, to go and serve him in the foreign field. And he said, you know the statement well, he said, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. And we know that people in Northern Ireland today do sacrifice to serve the Lord, but when I asked myself, you know, certainly it takes hours in the study and all of that, and there's all the other things, but even in the church now, a few hours a week in the church, that's all. And yet here's Studd, when you read his life, you feel so ashamed that you don't do more. If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice is too great for me to make for him. Studd made a difference, same as Moses, because he loved. He loved. There were times in Moses' experience, we're still thinking here of his love for God and his love for people, he would have been very lonely. Expect that, Christian. Some of you have already learned it. He would have been unaccompanied, but he was unselfish. How blessed it is, folks, to be in the Lord's will. Moses, a man who, yes, he said yes to following the Lord, but that meant saying no to so many things. And yet we have him here in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, numbered with what are known as those in the hall of fame of faith. By faith, Moses. What steadfastness there was. That brings us to another thought concerning him. That is Moses leaning. Let's just remind ourselves, we have Moses here, daring to go out and step out for the Lord. And he looked around him and he weighed up the whole situation. He thought, no, I want to follow the Lord. That's what I count better riches and better blessing in following, comes with following him. He looked and then he left because he loved, but he leaned. He leaned. Moses was one who knew what it was to lean upon the Lord. You see what it says in verse 27? By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. There was great steadfastness and patience in his life, and he needed plenty of both. And so will you and I as we seek to serve the Lord. There are two things here, and I'm finishing with this for now. Two things here that were associated with him. Number one, he didn't seek the applause of men. Don't waste your years and your life looking for that. He didn't seek the applause of men. And number two, and this is a tough one sometimes, he didn't seek appreciation. And if you and I can get to that point where we're not seeking the applause of men, and we don't care about appreciation, we do it for the benefit of our fellow man and to bring glory to the Lord, then we'll be happy servers. We'll be happy servers knowing that God is no man's debtor. See in verse 27 there at the very end, it says that he endured there in verse 27. It says also that he, the end of verse 26, that he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. The word respect there carries the thought of a giving back. A giving back or a reward. And he had his eyes on the Lord as he sought to do what he could, to give back what he could, knowing that he too would continually be rewarded. Win-win situation for Moses, but he did it all by faith. Finishing my quoting you part of a verse which says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for we know that in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And I hope the Lord will help you to dare to win. Who dares win? To dare to be a winner. Moses dared. And Moses was a winner because he went by faith. May the Lord help us all to do that and to show the fortitude and the commitment and the dedication that Moses had in his day.